This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, and away we go. We do a podcast. Al, what's up?
Oh, hi, Jerry. A loyal podcast listener, Mike Torch. Jerry, he DMs me a lot. Okay. He wanted a birthday shout-out. He turns 28 today.
Okay, happy birthday, dude.
And the reason I'm doing it is because...
He paid you?
He did not pay me, but I feel his pain in that he wrote to me, "I'm already stressed out that I have to go to dinner on a weeknight." So this is a man...
Why?
Well... There are people, Jerry, that are like me. They found me as their, as Gina said to me one time, you're the leader of a bunch of weirdos. Like, there are weird people like you who see you as their leader.
But when you've gone out on Valentine's Day at 5 o'clock for dinner,
yeah.
I'm not saying 7:30. I agree. That's cutting it a little close. 5 o'clock dinner.
Yeah, I can make an exception, but I am with this fellow Mike here. I would be thinking about it all day long.
All right.
So yesterday, Gina came back from a trip.
And oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, and she called me. I was on my ride home, and she goes, "Hey, I need you to pick me up." Not at the airport, because that's really far. She goes, "I need you to pick me up at the Long Branch train station."
Hold on. You let her... take New Jersey Transit from the airport.
Yes. Her and her girlfriend were doing that. Oh. They were getting off at different stops.
Okay.
I was already, she knows, which is nice.
Okay.
And even the just going to Long Branch is, I think it's like 20 minutes from my house.
Right.
So in my head, I'm like 20 and 20. That's almost another hour of travel. So I said to her, I go, there was no game plan. Like, she goes, "I didn't want to tell you prior, because then you would just think about it all day long."
That's true.
I said, "Well, you know, that is true. I really would have thought about it. I said I would have thought about it before you left."
What time is this at?
I needed to pick her up at, I'm trying to think. I had to leave my house at 1:15.
Oh, my God, dude. You couldn't hang out and just go to the airport and get her on the way home?
No, because the dog. She wasn't, I couldn't because of the dog situation. I really couldn't.
Okay.
Because when I got home, she was still just landing. And no, I could not, unfortunately, because of the dog.
You're panicked over a 1:15 pickup 20 minutes away.
Yes.
Al, I love you, but holy shit, dude.
20 minutes away and 20 minutes back, Jerry. That's what you're not counting. You're not counting the other 20 minutes back, 40 minutes total.
I know that we live far different lives.
Yes.
I get it. I accept it. All good. I didn't get home till 9 p.m. last night.
Yeah, that seems
and didn't
nuts.
Even give it a thought.
Yeah, that's crazy to me.
I shouldn't say 9. 8:15 by the time I got home from Joseph's baseball game.
Yeah, I would not be able to handle that. My brain can't handle that.
Okay.
And my dog is giving me more mental illness. Having the dog.
More, not less.
Not less. Oh, no,
I
no,
stress
no.
I get.
Yeah, no, more. That's what I was hoping, that the dog, that having, all these people tout how great having a dog is. To me, because of my weirdness, I am more stressed out having a dog than not. Because I put the dog's happiness over everything else.
Yeah, and I've explained that to you.
Taking care of the dog.
Right. And I think the dog should be very grateful to have a nice, warm and cool place to live and be fed wonderfully and be taken out when it needs to. I think the dog's doing just fine.
Yeah. I don't know how to, but when a living creature is looking at you and counting on you.
Sure.
That you can't communicate.
Well, I've raised two of them.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying, but that you can't really communicate with.
I've got two cats as well.
Yeah, right. You have two cats.
Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, when we're not home, as long as I know someone's going over to give them food.
Yeah.
Even there have even been times where we've just dumped a ton of food down and really loaded up the litter box and left them for 2 days.
Yeah, well, cats are very independent.
They are.
They're like,
they are.
They're like teenagers.
Like my wife will say, isn't that, it's kind of, that's tough. I'm like, would you rather them go wander the sewers for food? Like, they're good.
Yeah.
Or to avoid the rain by climbing up a tree. Like, I promise you, they're living in the lap of luxury right now. They're fine.
Yeah, they're doing pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I would say your cats.
Yeah. And so is Whimsy.
Yeah.
Doing great.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I can't get past that. I don't know who to talk to, Jerry.
This is an ongoing battle that until she passes, you're not going to be able to get
over.
I know. I know.
That is correct.
You've eased with your anxiety over it, but it's still clearly there.
Yeah, I have at times and I haven't at times.
Well, it's like you're very cyclical.
Yeah.
Like right now we're in a low period where cable TV rates are not bothering you and empty stadiums you've not really noticed.
Uh-huh.
At some point, I won't walk out on this on the show.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to contribute any longer to that conversation. I'll just let you go.
Which one in particular?
When you start doing, you know, your cable. Every like 4 months.
the cable bundles, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Or whatever, attendance and money and all that stuff in sports.
Grandma's paying for cable.
The dog
is
cyclical too.
Yeah, yeah.
There are times you seem great with the dog. There are other times you seem like you want to pull out any other hair that you have left on your head.
Yes.
So I get it. I understand.
Yeah. And
because it's a decision you do. You love the dog, but you ultimately do regret.
Yeah. And that, unfortunately, is going to live in every decision I make for the rest of my life.
In what way? Explain.
In that I'm not going to trust my decision-making process.
Okay.
Because I'll feel like, oh, I made this other decision, which was a bad one. So now I'm not going to make any more decisions because I don't want to regret my decisions. So this will stop me from making any decisions.
Because you regret every decision.
Yeah,
even your car, you said you did.
Right. I do regret most decisions, but most decisions are reversibles. Like, you can change them. If you buy a car that you
can,
and you're not going to be scorned by society. If you find if having a dog is not working out for you and getting the dog into another loving home, you are still the devil to most people.
That's true. If you live your life publicly and you share that, yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. Correct. Right, exactly.
Unless you're allergic to it.
Right, or if it attacked me.
In which case it might get put down as opposed to finding another
Correct, yeah.
This dog attacked me. Would you and your kids enjoy this dog? That's probably not a great idea either. But you're right. You get rid of a dog or a cat.
Oh, you're
people right. think you're the pits.
You are the pits, right. Mm-hmm. If I were to say, hey, I decided these kids are not for me. I'm going to leave my wife and kids and never see them again. People be like, listen, man, he's growing as a person. It is what it is, man. Relationships are tough. But if you were like, having this dog thing is really making me
you
mental.
Disgusting piece of filth.
Yes, I'm a piece of garbage. Yeah. I don't know what it, you know, there's so many things about my life that are monotonous that I like and that I keep monotonous.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other things that are monotonous that absolutely make me insane.
That drive you crazy?
Yeah. Like walking the same streets with the dog.
Sure.
At the same times. Oh, my God.
Your routine bothers you. As much as you love a routine, that routine bothers you.
Yeah, I do love a routine.
Mm-hmm.
But that one really bugs me.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I love a schedule.
Yes.
It's funny, when Kim and I first started dating, and way back when, and we would go on vacation, it would be, what's the plan this week? And we both agreed, no plan. Let's just enjoy it. Let's not think about it. And whatever we decide that morning, that's what we'll do. And I realized a few years into that more times than not, we would get up and have no game plan. And you would literally just waste a couple of hours trying to figure out what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
So that, and that was probably right before he got married or right after he got married. And since that time, I will not schedule a vacation without a daily routine. Now, I'll leave, listen, I will leave some gaps for just sitting by the pool unless there's something better to do, or go to the beach unless there's something else we want to do. But for the most part, I want to know from the time I land to the time I'm going back to the airport how I'm filling those days with things that we want to do, as opposed to staring at one another, asking each other what we want to do. Because that, to me, is
yeah,
the worst.
Yeah, that's tough on vacation. You burn a day like that.
Yes, that's the worst. It's just a waste of time.
Yeah, I guess I don't like knowing in advance I have something, but I guess that day I would like to have a game
plan. You have
plan.
To. You have to know what you do. Otherwise, you just time just passes and you spend all that money and you don't do anything.
Yeah.
So that's me anyway.
I have a question for you. I've been asking people this in my life. I asked Gina this. We hear a lot about people dealing with trauma, right? Mm-hmm. And my question is this. If someone, and I really started thinking about this when I watched the one documentary Gio had talked about. There was this, these school children in California in the 70s, and somebody kidnapped them with their bus. They took over the bus. They drove the bus. Now, they held the kids at gunpoint, I believe, to get them. They drove the bus. They buried the bus, threw sand on the bus. The kids were able, with the help of an older kid and the teacher, they were able to escape.
Wow.
It lasted one full day. So for one full day, the kids were kidnapped. There were guns involved. They were buried. They got out one full day. Every kid's life got screwed up, even as adults. Like, I wonder, what about a one instance of trauma stays with someone their entire life?
Sure. Oh, I mean, I know it's more than just one day of trauma, but you think about soldiers that come back.
Yeah.
That can't get their life in order because they can't get images out of their head. And not images they create, images that they saw and witnessed.
Yeah.
Those are really hard things to escape. And I don't, luckily for me, I haven't been in the military. I haven't dealt with that. I haven't had a trauma like what you're talking about.
I'm talking about like a one, like these kids, it was a one day. Now, granted, it was interesting. It was one day. They weren't physically hurt by the kidnappers.
But terrified.
But they, I will tell you, they have had alcohol problems, drug problems, relationship problems, almost all of them.
My guess would be, and we certainly ain't doctors here, my guess would be their bodies were so full of adrenaline, terror, fear. I mean, any emotion that you think you would experience, they experienced, that there are triggers that probably bring those feelings back often. Maybe every time they see a school bus, maybe every time they see kids getting on a school bus, anytime they see a story on the news about a kidnapping. And my guess would be that they don't know how to deal with it. And you end up going down the wrong route, whether it's drugs, alcohol, shutting your life down. I don't know, but it's gotta be something that's really difficult to get over.
Yeah. I always wonder about that. Like,
I mean, I'll give you one that's not, it's not even close to that. For me, worse for my friend, but you know, a friend of mine died when I was in college, it's Jersey City State College. I'll never forget when a cop came into the, I shouldn't say cop, a university security officer stopped class and called out my name and said, I need to speak with you. My first thought was, why am I being arrested? I didn't do anything. Then my second thought was, something's not right. And he said, we got some bad news. I immediately thought one of my parents passed away.
Yeah.
And I was told, you need to call home. One of your friends was killed in a car accident. I don't know who it could be.
Oh, my gosh. So yeah. They didn't have a name.
He didn't. It was, wow. I think it was my brother. Might have been my brother that called the university to get me out of class to get home. And it was, I just remember I had a cell phone. I think, you know, I did have a cell phone, but I didn't know what was going on. So I remember going to the office and calling my brother, and he told me that it was our friend who got into an accident the night before. And there's a long backstory to that, but neither here nor there. And I remember driving home in complete silence. And then when I got home, getting the details of the accident, which were just horrific, and exactly where it's taken place, I will tell you, because I'm on the road often, if not almost every day, there's not a time I don't pass by the spot where that car hit the pole that I don't think of him or driving at a high rate of speed, as he was, supposedly. It doesn't leave you. A friend of mine that I think you've met him, maybe not, got into a car accident, should have died, didn't. I know the exact intersection where a guy ran a red light. They call it T-boned him.
T-boned, yeah.
And obliterated his car. How the airbags basically saved him, although he was very close to death. Every time I go through it, I take extra. It's in my head. Doesn't leave me. So that's not the same thing.
I'm saying imagine had you witnessed those things.
Sure. That's what I'm saying. Like, for me, it's a lesser degree, and yet I still can't get that out of my head. And I wasn't part of it, or did I witness it? Now, if I did see it, or I was the one in it and lived through it, how do you get that out of your mind?
Yeah.
I don't know. Now, my friend has done well. How, I don't know, but he's done well. And my other friend obviously passed away from the accident. But, you know, those are things that have never left me.
Yeah, and then I'm sure people, and these kids from the documentary said, like, they'll have dreams about it as
yeah.
well. So even if you're able to get out of your head for a couple days, a couple weeks, whatever.
It recurs.
Yeah, it could resurface itself.
And there's no, and I don't know the answer to this, there's no way to block dreams. Is there
a supplement
or a drug you can take to where you just peacefully sleep without?
No.
I mean, you can't turn off those, what are they, neurons in your brain or whatever.
Yeah,
those things are
firing at all times.
Yeah, scary stuff.
Yeah. It's just so crazy.
Yep, sure is.
And then forget it. If you had a lifetime of trauma or a childhood, good Lord.
Well, I mean, that's the sad part about, you know, kids in abusive homes.
Yeah.
I don't know how you escape that. I don't know if you ever do.
Yeah, I don't think you do. I don't think you... And then I do have some people in my life that I'm friends with who came from terrible families and are very normal and appear to have come out unscathed.
Well, I think it depends.
Which is weird.
Depends on the person. There are certain people where that will motivate them to be better and they'll have more drive. They don't want to live that life ever again or see that life ever again. And I applaud those people. I mean, even if you look at whether it's baseball players, whether it's basketball players, football players, where they knew, even Eminem, as a matter of fact, always talks about how he needed a way out. And music for him was the way out. And he was going to do it and do it and do it until... Now, for every Eminem, there are 9 million people that don't break through.
Yeah.
But you see that story all the time in pro sports from athletes that, you know, have really tough upbringings. And this was their way to, whether it's financial freedom, peace of mind, get away from that life, you know, whether it was wherever, you know, that creates a work ethic that a lot of, as they will say, comfortable kids don't have.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you hear that from people who are wealthy and have done well in life now that came from growing up poor, and now they have kids. Joe Rogan talks about this, actually, saying that he does, that is a concern of his. Like, his kids have never needed anything.
Right.
And he grew up on food stamps and things, and how part of that was the motivation that got him to where he is now.
Yeah.
And is it tough for kids that grow up wealthy in that they don't have that drive? They were never desperate.
Yeah.
For anything.
I think obviously when you're young, your experiences probably drive you in a direction you might not have otherwise gone. So, again, much smaller scale. I didn't grow up on food stamps or anything like that, so I don't want to compare myself to Joe Rogan. But growing up, very normal, I would say a very normal middle-class household. My mom was home until... My mom went to work when I was like 14, I would say. That's when she wanted to get out of the house and start having her own career. But until then, she was home all the time, took us wherever we had to go. My dad worked, and my dad worked a lot, but always made the time to coach us in baseball. I remember times he'd be rushing back from Secaucus to make a 6 o'clock game to get there by 5:45 to hit a couple of ground balls and And he worked his ass off to make sure he got there. But I do remember, and no fault of his at all, he wasn't around during the day, like ever, because he worked like a normal dad used to work. And to me, not that I got into this business not to work normal hours, I didn't. But one of the benefits to this business is that you don't work normal hours. I think the amount of time I've had with my kids compared to the amount of time I've had with my dad when he was raising us might be, I don't even think I'm exaggerating, might be 10 times the amount of time I've spent with them than he spent with them, only because he was at work,
right,
like everybody. And I always remember, like, the more time I could spend, it did help. I don't know how it would have been if I had girls. I don't know. I've never raised a girl. It was so easy, though, with two boys that grew up putting a bat in their hand at two and liking it. I mean, it was like a blast. But I do think maybe the way I grew up, subconsciously, that's how I don't know. I don't know.
Right.
But it does shape you. It has to.
Yes. But you could have gone the opposite way, too, if you didn't feel like you spent a ton of time with your dad. You would think that's the way to be a father as well.
That's true. Yeah.
But yeah. I think back then, our dads worked the normal
9 to 5.
9 to 5 hours.
Yeah.
And it's probably even better now with people working a lot of jobs from home.
Mm-hmm.
You have a better way to interact with the family.
Yeah, I would think so.
Rather than just sitting in traffic and
I remember going to work with him a couple of times as a kid.
Yeah.
Sitting on that New Jersey turnpike sometimes, the exit at 16W, and then the traffic when we would get out. And he worked, if we didn't have a game that he had to get to, he usually worked until 6, and we'd get home around 7 o'clock. I remember his days were long. And I remember going to work with him a couple of times thinking that every day, wow, this is hard. Like, you're spending so much time in the car.
Yeah.
And it was just, ugh.
Where was where he went to Sea Caucus?
Yeah. Harmon Meadow Cove, that area in Secaucus.
So he would go Parkway Turnpike situation?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Parkway to the Turnpike, sometimes just 35 to 9 to the Turnpike. But he lived on the New Jersey Turnpike.
You ever think like you're taking the same route to work as your dad?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
I always think of because my dad worked at Newark Airport. Mm-hmm. And I drive by Newark Airport. I was like, this was a similar ride. Although I guess if you grow up in this area and work in this area, yeah, you kind of were taking the same roads.
And I worked with him for about 6-7 months and drove with him to work every day.
That Sea Caucus seems way up there, Jerry.
But it's so much better than New York City.
Yeah.
It's so much easier. As much as I'm complaining about what the traffic was like back then in the air, because it was such a flooded area with all the businesses. I don't know how busy it is there now. I'm not sure. It's giant parking lots.
We do love a giant parking lot when we see one.
Love a parking lot.
Oh, my God, look at this, Jerry.
Are you kidding? It's the best part of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
We need giant parking lots here in New York.
We have them for $750 a month.
Oh.
As opposed to free.
That seems expensive.
A little bit.
It'd be cool to be in the parking lot business, though. Doesn't seem like a lot to maintain, right?
Yes and no. I don't like the ones where they got to lift your car over the other car.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
But if you're talking about just like when you go to a wedding venue in New Jersey and it's just a massive parking lot,
yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I could do that.
Or you get down to Atlantic City, the casinos have just a big parking garage.
That's fine.
Let me park right in here.
That's no problem. I'm good with that.
Yeah, you're right. When you pass by those places in New York, those parking lots, where it's not a parking garage, it's a lot. And then they have
They stack the cars.
Risers where they just stack the cars on metal.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
Yeah, that seems strange.
There's got to have been a time, too, because I've done it in the driveway, where I have a 5-speed. I've always had a 5-speed, aside from 2 cars, where I've gotten out of the car, whether it was just thinking about something on the phone, and I forget to put the emergency brake up and put the car in gear. I start to get out, and the car starts rolling back. Jam on the brake. There's got to have been a guy that has put one of those 5-speeds on a lift and it rolled off.
Correct.
Has to have happened.
Absolutely.
Which would be terrifying.
Falling right. I'm just here to pick up my car. It fell off the lift. And you owe this guy because it landed on his car.
It's in the shop. I hope you have insurance.
Although you have insurance, you have the parking lot.
So true.
All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up program now.
That was deep today.
That was a little deep. Tomorrow, Jerry, you will be in here for Boomer.
Oh, that's right. He just left.
I've got CeeLo tomorrow morning.
Correct.
I'm going to hit his ass with some cable topics.
There's no Mets or Yankees tonight. Great day to do it.
It's going to be so awesome.
What are you going to talk about? There's no basketball tonight. There's nothing tonight.
Oh, this is going to be great.
Oh, God.
Well, I actually did see a...
Poor CeeLo.
I did see a streaming from Nielsen. Oh, I'm going to bring this up to CeeLo tomorrow. It's a streaming percentages from Nielsen that tells you what percentage of the audience each of these things has, like Netflix, YouTube. It's interesting. I hit his ass with that tomorrow.
Awesome.
All right, we'll see you on the War Machines.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Alan Jerry. Don't worry, it's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't suck.
All right, here we go. A couple minutes after 5 o'clock. What is up the Eddie Skiz area across from me from Bradley Beachy Hills at 6'1", 210 pounds. What's up, Al?
Oh, hi, Jerry. 210 pounds.
I wouldn't even know what that...
It is weird sometimes, you know, weighing what I weigh. I think I weigh like 153 now, somewhere in there. It's weird to like see someone who looks like a normal-sized human being.
Yeah.
And... they're athletic, and then they go, oh, I'm weighing 220. Like 220.
Oh, dude that's like jacked.
Yeah. Well, not like even crazy jacked. Like someone who just looks like a man.
Yeah.
Like how a man is built. You know what I'm saying, Jerry?
And
like,
they weigh 70 pounds more than you do.
Yeah. Like what a man would weigh. And I really
How do you characterize yourself?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think if I had stronger legs, maybe I would weigh more. You know what I mean? Because... I just feel like my legs are so pencil thin.
They're bony.
What am I going to do about it?
Nothing.
Leg lifts?
You could do leg presses.
Leg presses?
Yeah, but you don't have that equipment in your place.
No.
So that's kind of a problem. Squats.
I heard you could do, body weight squats.
You should do squats. Squats are good for everybody. Squats and planks.
Yes, and they say the squats, like as a gentleman gets older or a lady gets older, like myself, Jerry, that your legs, you want to have strong legs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I got to do.
Like a pitcher. You want a strong lower half.
I need to be like a pitcher, like a quarterback.
You don't
want to
be brittle.
No, I can't have brittle legs when I get older. Then what? Then I fall and it's over.
And you break your hip, you die.
Once you fall as an old person, man,
It's actually sucks. Sad. I know.
So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to pad everything in my place.
You're going to be
put wrestling mats down.
I was
in my
gonna
entire
say, you're
going to
have that gym floor, the rubber floor.
Yeah, the rubber gym floor, or like perfect. How gymnastics has those really, really thick mats for people to do flips
and
on.
You know what the beauty of you is? You can.
I could do that.
You're single, and if you want to live in a gym matted floor condo, you can do that.
I'll do that, Jerry.
And that's awesome.
And I'll wear like those football pants with the hip things in them.
That's a bit
really
much.
Protect myself.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to do that.
And I'm going to put the eye black on in case it gets sunny in my place.
Jackass.
Going to do that too, Jerry. I see there's so many interesting media notes today on my show sheet. Well, one of them, the New York Post. There's two the New York Post wrote an article, and then they incorporated the Andrew Marchand Athletic report on who's going to replace John Sterling. And there are currently a newspaper and the Athletic say there are four candidates.
Yeah.
Jerry.
Same four from a while back. Actually,
there's Justin Shackle, who's his Ben John's main backup guy, right?
Who I've got to be honest,
quarterback.
I know he's trying out every time he basically does a game. Essentially, if it's me, I'd be ticked off.
Me too.
I'd be like, what the hell am I doing backing him up every time he's been sick? Now I have to try out again.
It's kind of like in the NFL, like your main quarterback goes down, your backup.
Mm-hmm. And then they sign someone else.
Yeah, your backup goes like 6-1, and then they're like, we need a veteran in here.
I know.
Because they got Justin Shackle, you got Emmanuel Barbari.
Mm-hmm. Who's backed up, Justin.
The backup to the backup.
Yeah.
Ryan Rucco has been named.
Now, Ryan makes sense because he has done a lot of games on Yes.
What does he do now?
Where Ryan doesn't make sense is Ryan has a big ESPN contract.
Oh, okay.
The Yankee job is prestigious. It's the New York Yankees. I cannot imagine, though, being he's like the number two guy to Breen now at ESPN, and Mike, while I think still has a long way to go, is also significantly older than Ryan is. So at some point, Ryan's in line to be the main guy at ABC/ESPN. I find it hard to believe you would give that up to do the grind of a baseball season on the radio, especially when you're already getting, I don't know what the number is, I would guess he's already getting 40 games on Yes to do Yankee games, plus Yankee spring training games. To me, he's got the best of both worlds already. I actually, if it was me, I'd eliminate Ryan Rucco from consideration.
All right, so right now Justin Shackle's going, that's what I'm talking about, Jerry Rucco.
Well, I'm looking at it from Ryan's perspective.
Okay,
again,
that's a good point.
It's amazing. But he already does Yankee games, and he's in line to be the face of ABC Sports.
The fourth name is Brendan Burke.
Which is another interesting one.
Who's Brendan Burke?
Brendan Burke does the Islanders on MSG. He is also the number two guy on TNT to Kenny Albert for the NHL's national coverage. It's pretty – I mean, that's a big job. But his dad covered the Yankees. He grew up a Yankee fan. That one is a little interesting to me.
I'm going
to
ask you a wild question, Jerry.
Okay.
You're someone in the business. I'm in the business.
Yeah.
Eddie's in the business. Maybe this is a roundtable discussion. What do you think, if you are the agent for one of these guys,
yes,
what do you expect that job to pay? Full-time play-by-play radio of the New York Yankees. I'm not even sure I could ballpark it. I could be off by hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'm going to throw out a figure, though, for you just to get this started.
Yeah.
$400,000.
I was going to say $350,000.
Okay. What would you guess, Eddie?
I was going to say four also.
Yeah. I don't know where I'm getting that from. Totally random.
Mm-hmm.
Other than I always feel like I ballpark everything starting in that at a prestigious job. That's what I'm guessing.
I come up with my number on the basis of $2,000 a game. Plus spring training, travel. That's where I came up with $350,000, $400,000 sounds good to me. Yeah, pretty good. I would agree.
That's pretty cool.
Well, it's great. It's the play-by-play man of the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
Like, what did you think it was going to pay, $25,000?
I always just think what's funny with some of these jobs, in my head, I'm like, that really just feels like a half a year job.
It's longer. Yes and no. You are definitely off November, December, January. But like mid-February, you're making trips to Florida. You are doing games on weekends on the radio. So it kind of starts mid-February. And with the Yankees, it usually goes into at least mid-October. So it's a little more than half the year, but you're right. It's not a full year job, but they get no week, they get very few weekends off in the summer. They get very few, if any, Friday nights off unless they take them off. Like, it's a grind of a job.
And have you, as you've said on here, that's a tough job for a married man with kids.
Oh, I think it is. Yeah. I
because
mean, it
you're
depends.
Just gone so much.
Listen, it depends on what your relationship is and what kind of time you have. If your kids are young enough, I suppose, where they're not in school yet and you can spend the mornings with them. Right. So if you have the Yankee job, I would think if it was me, for a 7:05 first pitch every night on a regular basis for home games, I would think you got to be there by 4:30, a good solid two and a half hours prior. You got to make sure you're there on time just in case there's traffic. You give yourself some wiggle room. That means if you're living in central New Jersey, like I remember Kevin Burkhart lived down in Brick at the time.
Wow.
When he was
it's
working.
A ride.
Yeah. When he was doing SNY. He was leaving at 1:30 and getting home at 1:30 in the morning. So it's a long day. It's a lot of commuting. But his son was young at the time, not in school. He used to tell me how he would spend 7 a.m. to 1:30 with him every day. So you can make it work. The problem is if you've got kids that are in school and they don't get out till 2, 2:30, 3, you never see them, like ever, except on the weekends for a few hours. I don't know. Eh. And then if you're the wife, your husband's constantly on the road, constantly in hotels, doing God knows what, God knows who. Maybe nothing, but that thought's there.
Well, it was funny because we always had heard about John Sterling, how he's this eccentric guy. How are you not? You know what I mean? With that type of schedule, how do you not become somebody who's like a regimented
Who didn't miss
person?
A game for 5,000-something games. Think about that. Every 4th of July, every Labor Day, every Memorial Day weekend, he's there. It's a tough job.
Yeah.
It's a prestigious job, but it's a tough job.
The article, the reports also say, Jerry, that a decision will not be made until after the season. So we had a full season of tryouts.
But that's interesting, though. But do we need tryouts? Like,
yes.
Brendan Burke did Yankee games last year. We know what he is.
I feel like we now are in evaluation phase. We weren't then.
Go back and listen to the games. The guy's on national TV, twice a week. He's done Islander games. Do we need to hear him do another Yankee game to make a decision?
If you're Justin Shackled, you walk in the office and go, "What are we doing here?" Like, take that kind of stand, like you're very confident.
Only if I found out Brendan Burke wasn't interested.
I'd call Brendan Burke. You're not going to do this. You got the ESPN thing.
I wonder if those two are friends. Probably about the same age. They're both young.
If I'm one of those guys today, I'm with you. I'm like, this Ryan Rucco, he ain't going to take it. So that's the one I could eliminate one dude.
I'm not saying he would or he wouldn't. I'm saying I'm trying to think of it from his perspective. I don't know that I would. I don't know. Doesn't seem to make sense to me.
All right. Well, that's interesting, Jerry. I'm looking forward to following this all summer long. When someone writes about it. And if I hear any buzz around the building, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
The Yankees did finally win a game, Jerry. They lost three straight, but they won yesterday. And now we got no Mets, no Yankees tonight, I'm seeing.
Correct. Quiet night. Tonight should have been the NFL draft.
That would have been perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Quiet night tonight.
Instead, I think you get Knicks Sixers on Thursday night with the NFL draft.
Oh, next week?
I think so.
Because Knicks Sixers start Saturday. Islanders Carolina starts Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Capitals Rangers start Sunday.
Knicks. I just want to see the layout of the schedule. I'm pretty sure I have that right for next week. Yeah, 7:30 game 3 in Philly next week.
So how about this? You watch the Knicks and they just put the scroll on the bottom.
Well, you know my theory.
NFL
I think
draft.
The NFL draft is a waste of time.
Yeah, me too.
I am not watching the NFL draft. Just tell me who gets picked. I will watch the Knicks game. Not even a thought. But for some people that love the draft, and if you love it, that's great for you, and you're a Knicks fan, that's going to be a tough night, especially if you're a Giant fan that's picking in the, I know you can always zip back and forth, but you could miss a big trade.
That's true.
There's a lot of people that love to have draft parties. This is
Knicks, me, Jerry.
Sixers.
I'm going to have a draft/Knicks Sixers party.
What does that include? A piece of sweet potato and some sparkling water?
Some homemade sweet potato fries, some sparkling water, and maybe some ground beef, Jerry.
Well, please invite me.
And everyone's got to be out by 10 to 8.
hasn't started yet.
What?
That's a pre-draft party.
Oh. Why is it every time I see, like, the Islanders are playing Carolina, in my head I go, Islanders versus Panthers?
Because the Carolina Panthers in the NFL, I've done it too many. Yeah. I've actually written that by mistake because they all cross. The Florida Panthers, right. The Carolina Panthers, the Carolina Hurricanes, that's why.
It's confusing.
It is confusing.
Can we just call them the Carolina Panthers?
No, we cannot.
What if we did that in whatever city you're in? Yeah. All of your teams have to be the same name.
Well, we had the New York Giants, the New York Giants here, you know.
Yeah, that's cool. You had St. Louis Cardinals at one point.
That is right.
That is cool also, but it's very rare.
Like the Giants didn't take the 49ers name.
No, they should have. Who do I talk to? I'd have to get all the commissioners one room, Jerry. You know what the chances of this happening are? Little, very
zero.
Little.
Absolutely zero. Weren't the Dodgers a football team, Eddie, back in the day? Don't you?
I believe so. Way, way, way back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was a Dodgers football team, and I think the Dodgers were the trolley Dodgers.
Correct.
To first start.
Does that mean people like not paying to jump on the trolley?
Yeah, the Brooklyn Trolley Dodgers.
Like subway jumpers?
No, to get out of the way so you don't get hit by
it. Oh, I thought it was actually to dodge the fare, actually.
You could be right, but I'm not sure.
No, yours makes more sense, actually, because I did see a documentary on how many people used to get hit and killed by those when they first started.
By the trolleys?
Yeah, because people were just
and they didn't even have phones back there to stare into. Imagine now you really get plastered by a trolley.
God. I suppose.
Back in the 20s when that was happening, there were people walking with their newspapers in front of there.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And whoosh, the trolley just smushed them.
That could have been part of it.
Trolley Dodger. Yeah. What about this? From now on, all of the teams, and I have to get all the commissioners in a room. Not only do they have one nickname per city, so like New York would either be the Mets for everything.
But we have two teams, though.
And same colors.
But what about the different teams?
Mets Junior.
No, he's such an idiot. No. Well, the Knicks and the Mets have the same colors.
Yeah, that's
so
cool.
I mean, that is in line. Yankees and Giants, sort of, though the Yankees don't have the red. But you do have the blue and the white.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Jets are green.
I'm going to start this in the smaller cities, Jerry, that only have, like in Pittsburgh, the Penguins and the Steelers, same colors. Nice.
Rangers and Giants.
Yeah.
Same colors. The Islanders would be the same colors as the Knicks.
And the Mets.
Yeah. Yep. So I guess we kind of have that to a certain mm-hmm. degree. Not full, but
not fully. Some places have it, though.
A little bit.
That's all I need, Jerry.
Good luck with that. I know you're looking for something to do. This is probably a great project.
I might start that this afternoon. I'll reach out to Rob Manfred, reach out to Roger Goodell,
mm-hmm.
and then I have to figure out Adam Silver, I'm aware of.
Well, I think he's a little concerned right now with banning a player for life. I don't know that your phone call is really going to make it on the priority list.
Why? That's over with already. He's banned.
Yeah, well,
they banned me.
You still got to deal with, I'm sure, lawsuits coming from the player side, I would think.
Yeah, do you think this Jonte Porter, he's banned for life now from the NBA? Do you think he's going to sue them?
Yeah, I think I would think there would be something. I don't know. I would think you have to do some sort of defense to try and reduce the suspension. Hey, can we knock this down to, I don't know, 5 years so he can try and play again somewhere? I don't know.
Right. Like if you in criminal court, you get a life sentence. Can we knock that down to 20 years and then they'll come back out and play basketball? That'd be great. They ban him for like 7 years and he comes back and imagine in that 7 years, Jerry, he like really practices hard and he becomes like this super NBA player and returns 7 years later.
I would think he's young enough to do that.
Yeah.
He is. I'm going to say he's 27. Let's see. So 6 or 7 years would make him 30, 31, 32.
But like
he's 20, he's younger than I thought. He's 24.
24, Jerry. He'll take a 6 year. This is what I'd be like.
5 year suspension. He comes back at 29.
Yeah, I'll take a 5 year ban, and in that time, I am going to just practice threes all day long.
But he's also got to go speak to pro athletes,
right?
About the pitfalls of sports gambling.
Could he go back to college and get some of that nil money everybody's talking about?
No, I don't think he's been pro already. He's made money.
Man.
Once you make money as a pro, you can't go back to college.
Can't go back.
No, you cannot. But you know who you could talk to about all this?
Michael the Bull Lamonsoff.
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about, Jerry.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Oh, it sounds like and feels like summer when I hear this song.
This is from the single soundtrack. Almost. Remember that movie, Jerry?
No, I don't.
Singles?
No. Should I?
Yeah, it was like...
Singles? No.
Singles? It was like a 1992 film.
Nope.
About singles living in Seattle.
Nope.
It really like brought up the whole... Pearl Jam was on. It was early Pearl Jam stuff.
No. I hear singles. I think of Brett Gardner. A lot of singles and a couple of home runs.
All right, that's fair enough, Jerry. You are on a sports radio station.
Yeah, well.
I've got a couple of more Caitlin Clark stories for you, Jerry.
Yes.
I'd love to hit you with.
Okay.
Well, a couple things. Caitlin Clark met the media yesterday.
I do have this. I know where you're
you
going.
You do?
You have
this clip?
Yeah, yeah.
She met the media in lovely Indianapolis, which I love Indianapolis.
I know you do.
It's a beautiful city.
I know.
She ran into Indianapolis Star reporter Greg Doyle, who had a somewhat interesting exchange with her and then was called a pervert.
Which there's one weird part in it where I can kind of understand.
Dave Portnoy of Barstool called him a pervert.
Pervert.
So you have the audio?
Oh, yeah.
In the beginning of it, he's showing her, which you can't hear, he's doing the hand symbol of the heart, which
right.
I guess she does to her family
as she
members.
Says in the clip, yes.
All right.
So here is, it starts with him.
Hi.
Hi.
Caitlin. Hi. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
There's the sign.
You like that?
Like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well,
cool.
Let's start doing it to me, and we'll be get along just fine.
Oh.
So.
Okay. The part that I just found.
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
Creep.
Yeah. A little weird.
Creep.
Came across
you
a little weird.
Pretty good. How old are you? Cool. I'd like to meet you at Applebee's.
There's
for
Creepy Al.
Okay. I've made lemonade. It's in the kitchen.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I like that you're here. How are you doing today?
That sounds like you.
Yeah. That's the voice that the shows use when they have to distort a pervert's voice.
I know. And they shade the face.
Yeah, on a news program.
Oh, whoa. Do you like what you see? Well, how are you doing tonight? Can I give you a bath?
Here. I like
a bath.
I like that you're here.
Yeah, this was...
Do you have any photos I can see of you?
No, Al, I don't. You weirdo.
I see you're teasing me a little bit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so Dave Portnoy, I guess, had retweeted it and said they called the guy a pervert. So then the guy... This Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, he then took to Twitter to write, my comment after he did the heart, was clumsy and awkward. I sincerely apologize. Do you think he felt it was awkward?
At the time?
Yeah. I think he did.
I don't know about that, actually.
Because they don't get a lot of stars out there in Indianapolis. They probably haven't had one since Peyton Manning rolled into town. So when you're getting a big celebrity like Caitlin Clark now coming to your town that you're going to cover, and she's a woman, so you're probably not often interacting with famous women, Now he's awkward. I could kind of understand that.
But I don't know that he felt it in the moment. I don't.
Oh, you don't?
I don't.
You think he was like, la da da da, and then he gets to Twitter and he's like, a pervert? The heck did I do?
I do think at the end, maybe the one thing he might have felt was a little awkward was when he says, do it to me and we'll get along or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think the fact that he did the sign, if you watch her, it's not an uncommon thing. I get that part. It's the, I'm glad that you're here and we'll get along just fine.
Yeah.
Maybe that, maybe in the moment, but I don't know. I think it could have been, he opened up Twitter and saw 4,000 mentions and said, uh-oh.
Right, especially if Portnoy at Barstool tweets it, then you're in trouble because then you're going to get hammered on Twitter for
all
that.
All of the Barstool cronies now come after you. Yeah, I know.
Also good news for her yesterday. She's set to sign a 8-figure endorsement deal with Nike.
Which is what, you know, we talked about yesterday. Like, you can sit there and complain about her contract all you want. It's insignificant. The money she's going to make is because she is who she is. That's why, she's only making $76,000. Okay, but because she's got that platform and can continue to play, she's going to make $10 million, if not more. I don't know exactly what the 10-figure number is. It's a lot of money,
Eight figures.
I had to
do the math on it. When I hear six figures.
Right, so eight figures is, how many figures?
Eight figures.
Right, so it could be $10 million, right?
Yes, $10 million or more.
Because seven figures is up to $9 million.
Correct.
And when you get to 10, right. So she's going to make a lot of money, and rightly so, and she's been making a lot of money.
It used to be cool to say you got a six-figure deal. Now it feels like that's six. I want eight figures. I want nine figures.
How's that worked out for you?
Not great right at the moment, but I'm still gunning for it.
And we should all be gunning for it.
And she's going to get a signature shoe from Nike, they say.
Yeah.
Do you think this was like men would wear this shoe, or this
is just
for women?
You know what? I do think that there are some. I don't know about men wear it. I don't know. I always think more of the high school athlete, more so, and the grammar school athlete. I wouldn't be stunned if I saw an eighth grade young man wearing the Caitlin Clark sneaker. Not at all.
I might wear them just to show people, like, look how cool, how with it I am in 2024. I'm wearing a female-endorsed shoe, so look
how
at me.
How woke you are.
Yeah. And then I could be like a total jerk in all these other areas, and I'd just be like, I'm sorry, but I am wearing Caitlin Clark's shoe, so I'm not a total jerk.
Fact of the matter is, if the shoe looks cool, people are going to wear them.
If the shoe fits, wear it. That's what I say.
But if it looks good. Like, there have been some mega stars that have designed with the company some ugly sneakers.
Oh, yeah.
That
can't
just
wear those.
Because, and I'm not specifically saying it's him, but just because it's a Kevin Durant sneaker, some might automatically run out and buy it, but the fringe purchaser would be like, that's ugly. I ain't buying that.
Yeah.
You know, so I think if it's a good looking sneaker, I think people will buy it.
It's got to be a cool color, too, Jerry. I don't know what the Indiana Fever's colors are.
I would think they're blue and yellow like the Indiana Pacers, but I don't know.
Is that right?
I do not know.
Because that's what you got to do. Did you have those early Michael Jordan shoes, the first ones, the red, black, and white?
I did not. No.
Those were cool.
I did not. I had Jordans, not the originals. I had the Jordans, the white. They look like soft, foamy high tops. You remember those?
Yeah.
And then the little jump man.
Those are cool. I like those.
Those I had. Those are the only Jordans I think I ever had. I'm pretty sure.
I did get those Jordans, the white, black, and red ones, but I'm sure I got like the second batch that came out because I'm sure the first batch was like sold out and expensive.
By the way, the Indiana Fever is the blue, yellow, but they also have red. It almost looks like the Cleveland Guardians.
Actually. Is that right?
Yeah. It's not just the blue and the yellow like the Pacers. They have red in their logo.
All right.
Interesting.
They also say this is a terrible mistake by Fanatics / Nike once again.
Mm-hmm.
That right now, Jerry, if you wanted to purchase a Caitlin Clark jersey.
Yeah.
Like today. You didn't buy one when they first came out. You want one today. You're going to order yourself an Indiana Fever Caitlin Clark jersey.
Yes.
You will get that in August.
Well, all good things come to those who wait.
I guess so. The season starts May 14th.
I understand.
You got to get those out.
Yes.
Can you just churn those out these days? I feel like... Like, right now, you want an Al and Jerry t-shirt, you can just get one. You know what I mean?
Yes, you could.
Just make one.
Yes, you could. That is very true.
What's taking so long to make these jerseys?
I do not know. You would think that that would be print-on-demand
quickly. Print-on-demand.
Knowing that people want them.
Correct.
No, but instead, we're going to make sure we have enough Tyrese Halliburton jerseys.
That we have.
Those we got plenty of.
That, there's no wait. So that was kind of weird. In this day and age, Jerry, I love to say in this day and age.
I completely agree.
Here's a quick story as we come to the end of this segment. This just shows you, first of all, how any little thing will make news in the NFL.
Okay.
And also will show you how boring the Cleveland Browns uniform is. That an article came out yesterday that said, the Cleveland Browns, quote, return to their roots with a white face mask. The Browns will be wearing a white face mask this year, Jerry, which evidently they weren't doing.
I feel like any uniform change, we go goo-goo gaga over.
I normally
do.
So
why not that? I mean, what's
the difference? That's what I'm saying. Like, that's next level uniform change. Announcement.
I don't even know if I'd notice.
Me neither. Like, if you were to say, draw a Cleveland Brown helmet, I probably would have made the face mask white anyway.
Yeah, probably.
You're not impressed.
No, I don't care. I'm not a Browns fan. It doesn't matter to me.
Are you going to run out and get Browns helmet?
I don't care about the uniforms anyway. I really don't.
Really?
I don't.
Even if it's a cool uniform?
No, I would say the only time, I get annoyed when the Cowboys wear the old school uniforms on Thanksgiving.
The white helmets with the stars, yeah.
I like them. I do think they're cool. But when I watch a Cowboy game, I want to see the traditional Cowboy uniforms. But whatever. So I don't get nuts over it. It's fine. The one that I do think that is neat that I've seen in the last 20 years was the Oilers.
Yeah, that was great.
When the Titans wore the Oilers uniform, and that's because they don't exist anymore. So I thought that was a really cool throwback, and that look was neat. Other than that, though, like when the Seahawks wear their... Whatever. We've seen them before. Same team. So they throw a throwback on. Like, this whole jet, you know, I think the jet black helmet is very cool. But the uniform to me looks like a jet uniform.
Right. Looks just like the Jets.
Subtle. Now, if they would have come out and said, here's our new uniforms, and all of a sudden the Jets were wearing bright red jerseys, that's a pretty big uniform change.
That's a big change, yeah.
Switching a stripe here, a stripe, whatever.
You're not that impressed.
No, it does. It looks like the Jets.
How much money over the years, and you got to think of this, you got to do compound interest and that sort of thing. How much money over the years have the Browns saved in decal money? Right? Just think of how many decals these teams go through every week, every year.
Yes.
Steelers have half the budget.
That's true.
Because they only
have one side of the helmet.
One side. The Browns have no budget for stickers. Decals.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. My guess would be with the billions of dollars that come in, though, they probably don't even give it much thought.
That's probably how they were able to afford that Deshaun Watson contract. They're like, listen, we haven't paid decal money in years, actually ever.
Well, it's really not that many helmets and not that many stickers.
But I bet you they replace those stickers every week. You're going to need a nice, fresh helmet.
I don't know about that. When I used to cover the Jets and the Giants, some of those helmets are pretty banged up.
Really?
I don't think they're wearing a new helmet every week.
New helmet, but I would feel they're changing out decals.
I really don't know.
Yeah, because I would think a guy would like to get used to his helmet.
Yeah.
You know, and then even have a couple of war scars on there.
Yes. I always liked in college when they got the stickers on the back for when they do something good in the game. The dude that had the stickers all over the back, I'm like, that's a badass.
So Ohio State did that.
Yes.
I think Florida State did that as well.
A lot of schools do it. Not all. A lot of schools do it, though.
So that's something from in a game or like you had a really good practice. Would you get one as well?
I think so. I'm not 100% sure of that, but I think so.
But in some ways, you're letting the opponent know this is the badass on the team.
Right. Look for the guy that's only got one sticker.
Level him.
I'll use
the Ohio State helmets, though. Pop with those stickers.
Yeah, those are cool.
Very cool look. All right, we'll take a quick break. 5:38. We're that close to the Boomer and Geo program on this Thursday here on The Fan.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible.
behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is this, I feel like this is my Verdu for Gone.
This classic Smithereens, Jerry.
Man. Old Smithereens.
New Jersey's own Smithereens.
Yeah.
The lead singer passed away a number of years ago. They now tour with Marshall Crenshaw on lead vocals. Do you know Marshall Crenshaw?
I know the name.
Where's he from? Someday, some way.
Well, yeah, sounds great.
You don't know that one?
I might if I actually heard the song.
I got to get this from Mr. Jerry Regal.
What you just did didn't exactly sell me on it.
All right, that's fair enough. How about this is the song. Let me kick it in here.
Oh, yeah, I know this song. Yes. I do know this song.
It's a nice 80s vibe, Jerry.
Yeah, I would agree.
So he's the singer for the Smithereens now.
Good for him. How many people do you think go to a Smithereens show not knowing him?
Good question. I went probably a year and a half, 2 years ago with him, and I think it's a good question. Because here's what's weird. You know, Spotify will send you, hey, there's some concerts in your area.
Of course.
Based on what you have on playlists and what you've played. Whenever they send me the Smithereens one, they send me the picture of the guy who's passed away.
Really?
They go, hey, Smithereens are in your area.
Right, so that's part of my point, I guess. I think the diehards know.
Yes.
But do the Smithereens fans that just like the music.
The secondary fans, Jerry.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. The secondary fans. I wonder how many of them know that they're going to see a show where the original guy's not there.
Yeah, that's a good question.
And didn't they play Mike's show at Bar A 1 year before he passed?
Yeah. I was so excited to get a photo with Pat Denizio, the lead singer of the Smithereens.
And you got the photo?
I got the photo, yeah.
Good for you.
Yep, I sure did, Jerry.
Nice.
Let's see. What else do I have here, Jerry? I've got the Patriots yesterday. During the later part of the program, I think you did in one of your sports updates that ESPN had put out an article saying that, what were they essentially saying?
Well, one of the things was that Arthur Blank contacted Robert Kraft as a reference, which, according to the story, Bill Belichick basically said, yeah, you should check with the Krafts, essentially. And that Kraft basically told him, don't hire this guy. He's a control freak. And, you know, the way he does things, blah, 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 didn't exactly give him a ringing endorsement. That was the basis of it, essentially.
Okay. So the Patriots then, because of that, yesterday put out a statement saying that Robert Kraft, steadfastly denies saying anything negative to Arthur Blank about Bill Belichick after Robert and Bill mutually agreed to part ways. In fact, Robert advocated for Bill to get the job.
Well, there's only one person that's going to tell you the truth, and that would be Arthur Blank. Because the one part of the story that doesn't make sense, if in fact Robert Kraft gave him a good endorsement, would be the idea that Belichick thought he had the job and then was, as the story says, completely blindsided hours later when they hired Raheem Morris and then did not announce Belichick.
Maybe it was a combination where Robert Kraft said, I would hire this guy. He is a control freak lunatic, but I would hire him.
Maybe.
Again, mixed signals.
The only one that can answer that you'd believe, I think, would be Arthur Blank, but I don't think he would say it either. So we'll never know, probably.
In other Bill Belichick news,
Bill Belichick news.
Yeah, wow. I got two other Bill Belichick news items. Yeah, I had three things in my Bill Belichick list today. He was on Pat McAfee yesterday to announce that he's going to be on the Pat McAfee Draft Spectacular show next week.
Can't wait. Let me ask you this. I didn't see this in headlines anywhere. Did McAfee ask him about the report?
No, I believe it came out
Well, wasn't he on yesterday, you said?
He was on yesterday.
The article came out at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, you're right. What's weird is before Belichick came on, McAfee was blasting the article, which people thought was interesting because it was an ESPN article.
Yeah.
And here's Pat McAfee trashing the reporting, saying it was crap reporting.
And then Belichick came on. He didn't ask him about it?
I did not see any quotes about that. That's interesting.
I gotta go watch.
How do you
that
not do that, right? And then Bill Belichick is signing a deal with Omaha Productions. To do what? I'm not sure.
I have no idea.
Jerry, we got to start signing deals.
I don't know.
We got no deals with Omaha Productions. We've got no deals with Pat McAfee Show. What are we doing over here?
I do not know. I don't know. We're wasting away again in Margaritaville.
Yeah, right in Margaritaville. Here we are, Jerry. Sipping on, what's that lyric goes?
Gin and juice.
That's a different one, but terrific. Also a terrific drinking song.
Yes, it is. I will say, I've been for probably 2 years now.
Yeah.
I have said that Deion Sanders will be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. I still believe that. If it's not Bill Belichick.
So you would, what percentage, Jerry, would you put if I go, the guy after Mike McCarthy
yeah.
will be Bill Belichick or Deion Sanders? What percentage would you put that at?
I would need to know what year we're talking. Next season or the season after? If we're talking for the 2025 season, which would be next year, I would say 75-25 Belichick over Deion.
No, I'm just saying, just one of those two guys. Like, if you could place a bet.
Oh, that it would be one of those two?
At least one of those two. Next year, one of those two.
Yeah, I would put a lot of money on it, actually.
You would say it's upwards of 95% one of those two guys?
Yeah, well, Dan Quinn's gone. And he was the guy that a lot of people thought could be the one to take the job, since the Joneses paid him a lot to keep him there as a coordinator last year. He's now a head coach in Washington. So I would put a lot of money on either Deion or Belichick being the next Cowboy. And I feel like I'm tossing Mike McCarthy aside.
Yeah.
But with the way they failed miserably in the postseason, I'm still surprised he's still the head coach. I don't know. They've done nothing in free agency at all. They've got players that are not thrilled with their contract status. I don't know what they're going to do in the draft. They don't exactly have a high pick. So I don't know that they're going to be a great team this year. And if this team doesn't make significant progress beyond one playoff game, I think McCarthy's out.
And people are assuming that Belichick will be either on the Giants, the Cowboys, or the Eagles.
That's what, well, because he has said those are the one of the three teams he wants.
This man loves the
article.
Loves the NFC East.
He does like the NFC East. He likes the East, as we know. Be interesting. Very interesting.
The Giants would be the coolest landing spot just because of his history.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you want to see him end anywhere, that would be the place. Just like I don't think Giant fans are thrilled that Bill Parcells' final job was in Dallas. You'd like to see him probably finish with you. But
I would take the Eagles right out of that mix. He ain't going to Dallas.
I don't know about that. If Nick Sirianni has another... I think if the Eagles get out to a slow start, Nick Sirianni's gone before September's over.
And then they already tell Belichick, we'll get you next year.
I think it's possible. And not to have fun with his age.
But the owner's not getting any younger in Dallas.
He wants to win.
Yeah. And you don't want that guy going to one of your rivals.
Correct. And Belichick, you would think, would be the quick fix. And it did work with Parcells.
He
retired before he saw it through.
Right.
And then Wade Phillips took over. They won a lot and then screwed up and lost to the Giants in that playoff game that they completely blew. Okay. Quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. Boomer and Geo next. Odyssey Sportsman at Amy Lawrence.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry, the superheroes of WFAN.
We got another minute or so left. Boomer and Geo, standing by. What else?
Jerry, I saw people criticizing Mr. Mike Tyson on social media yesterday. He put out a video himself of a run. He was running, and I guess that people thought he was bit of a laborious run.
Okay, how about this? Let him stand in front of him, punch him in the face.
Right, exactly. He's not going to be running around the ring.
No, he's not.
Now, I know these guys, these boxers, run to get their heart rate up to be able to last through the thing, but I've seen Mike Tyson, old man Mike Tyson, punching things.
Mm-hmm. He looks good.
Still looks good.
I know.
He looks good.
Man,
I'm going to be pulling. Do you think most people will be pulling for old man Mike Tyson?
I do. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, me too.
Who's the guy he's fighting
Jake
again?
Paul.
Yeah, I don't. Who's that? I don't know who he is.
Young guys like him.
Yeah, okay. Well, then the old guy's going to be rooting for Mike.
Right. It's going to be a generational battle, Jerry.
Right. It'll be a generational battle young that guys. I think is going to do quite well, actually, with
Me
the pay-per-view buys.
I do, too. It's actually right not now, pay-per-view buys. It's on Netflix.
Oh,
free.
It's on Netflix?
Yeah.
Really? I wasn't aware. Boomer right now is...
WFAN. WFAN-FM. WFAN-FM HD1. New York. Always live on the free Odyssey app.